Welcome to the Boobing Podcast, from breastfeeding disaster to exclusively boobing it, your zero filter account of breastfeeding woes, triumphs and more. I'm your host, Melissa Waite, a mum who has been there and overcome just about every obstacle thrown at me while breastfeeding, going on to breastfeed for a whole 23 months. 88% of Aussie mums are facing challenges breastfeeding, which is a crazy stat. The Boobing Podcast wants to normalise talking about and working through breastfeeding issues. If 88% of us are having trouble, we need help, guidance, sometimes a hug, a laugh, or a shoulder to cry on. Today, we'll be talking to Larissa Waters, Deputy Leader of the Australian Greens Party and the first woman to put forward a motion in Parliament while breastfeeding her daughter, Alia. Back in 2017, this made international headlines, and I remember feeling a sense of pride for all women when I saw this video in my newsfeed. I was not yet a mother myself, but now I love it even more. Welcome to the Boobing Podcast, Larissa.
It's wonderful to be with you, Melissa. Congratulations on doing a podcast while having a toddler. Doing anything really while having a toddler.
Oh, thank you. So let's go back to 2017 and just talk me through that day that attracted so much attention. I mean, I've read, you know, Time articles about this moment. Like it was everywhere. Talk me through it.
It was pretty bizarre, really, Melissa, because as you know, as a working mum and as a breastfeeding mum, you just feed your bub when she's hungry, and you're not the one that gets to decide when that is. That's well and truly baby's call. And in Parliament, federally, you've got some times that are set. And so we were in the session that was for motions, which is kind of like statements that you then have to vote on, which is quite a powerful part of the parliamentary program. And we had 10 minutes to go, and I had a text message from my baby's father saying, she's really hungry. And I said, oh, do you think she could hold on for 10 more minutes, or is it not going to happen? He's like, no, it's not going to happen. And so I said, all right, well, look, bring her in and I'll just multitask, because, you know, women are badasses at doing that. Yep. And so he brought her in, and the time came for me to move my motion. And it's quite a short procedural thing to do. You just stand up and say, you know, I move motion number blah, blah, which relates to this theme. And mine was about black lung disease, because a lot of people that mine coal are getting very sick, and, you know, so is the climate. So we're concerned about workers' health as well as the health of the climate. Anyway, she was having a feed while I was managing to do that. And I used to use these fabulous little, you know, flat nappies, those square towels, which not only mopped up any possets she might do, but also, you know, hid enough of my boob that I could be in that public arena of the Senate chamber whilst doing my work and feeding my baby. So I managed to move that, and it sounded like she was doing her own motion at the same time. So, like, crikey, there's a lot going on here. Turns out it was just a fart from her and not an actual motion. So all was well. But I just got on with doing what I needed to do, move my motion, and then unbeknownst to me, people thought this was a massive deal. And in some ways it was a big deal, because a baby had not been breastfed in the federal parliament before, which is crazy, because, you know, we've had a parliament for more than 100 years, and clearly we need more women and young parents in parliament if it's taken that long for there to be a breastfeed. Thankfully, there's been lots of young mums in parliament breastfeed since then, and some dads bring their kids in as well. So I'm hopeful that things are changing. But at the time, it was the first time it had happened, and I sort of felt like I had a foot in both camps, because as a mum, you just breastfeed your baby when they're hungry. If you're lucky enough for your boobs to be working and you've got your latching technique all working, like, not everyone can, but if you can, then great. But at the same time, I also recognised that this was a real symbol of women being able to do their jobs and parent at the same time. And that's a really important ability for us to have and to be supported to do. And, you know, not everyone can manage that. Not every workplace is as permitting as mine was. Not everyone's the boss in their workplace. It helps that you know, I was the boss in my workplace, so I had that flexibility. So I'm conscious that I have a lot of privilege in this role, and that it's therefore a lot easier for me to be able to juggle breastfeeding and work. But I'd like to hope that it gave women just a bit of confidence and hopefully a bit of inspiration to breastfeed their babies if they're able to, whenever they need to, and change that social stigma that used to exist and that I think is fading. I hope it doesn't exist anymore.
It is fading, but I do think that people are, and when I say people, I mean men, are still, unless you have had a partner who has openly breastfed and confidently breastfed in the public arena, I feel like there's still a bit of, you're going to do that. And my boss here, for example, when I came back to work, it was probably around the time Reese was about 14 months, so about the same age as Alia was. And I said, oh, I'm going to need a room to pump. And of course, they were like, sure, use this meeting room. But 3 days in, I'm in this meeting room, and every single time I have attempted to pump, someone has just flung the door open when boobs are out. To their best effort, we are supporting and allowing the breaks and giving a private room. But I think after those
doesn't sound like a private room.
No,
to me.
Well, private where like you couldn't see through the window. But in the end, I just went, oh, you know what? I'm just going to suck it up and hold on to that milk and just rush home and feed the baby after I finish work. And I think it is one of those things that despite efforts and intentions, I don't think workplaces are super equipped as yet, sadly. It was a really big thing for me coming back going, oh, my God, I'm breastfeeding this baby. She doesn't want to take a bottle and I'm going back to work.
And
in the end I just went, oh, thankfully she can eat food and drink some water and then I'll just rush home and pop her on when I get home. But I definitely think that there are still a few improvements to be made on that front for sure.
Yeah, that sounds like your workplace was – trying to do what they thought was the good thing, but hadn't really put enough thought into what you needed and probably hadn't spoken to you about what you needed and what was going to work best for you, which is a real shame because I think you can have workplaces that do that. And I think every workplace should do that. And breastfeeding breaks and pumping breaks should be normalised.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage women back into the workforce if that's what they want to do after the birth of their baby. And so you've got to work out how it is that you have those breastfeeding or pumping breaks. So this is an issue that workplaces and employers are going to have to deal with. They might as well deal with that in consultation with their employees and make sure that the solutions are actually tailor-made for people. If they want to be employers of choice, that's what they'll do. And I'm sure some of the bigger employers are doing that, but it shouldn't be a size thing. It should just be a human thing. And I think mums have a vast amount to contribute to the workplace. And I think we're absolute legends that we can juggle work and parenting anyway. And workplaces should be lucky to have us.
Absolutely.
Because we're absolute bosses at multitasking. So, yeah, I think with pumping, obviously also, I found it really hard with my second to pump. It would not flow. It worked okay with my first.
Yeah.
But it just, I couldn't get any letdown when I was with my second daughter. So I sort of gave up pumping.
Yeah.
And
me too.
And which is a real shame because that's a great way of being able to kind of do all of the things. And if you're lucky enough that you can, then your workplace should be supporting you to do that. But my second daughter coincided. It was a really weird time. It coincided with me having to stand down from Parliament because it turns out I was a Canadian citizen.
Yes.
Which, unbeknownst to me, I feel a bit embarrassed. I thought that you had to opt in to get citizenship at age 21, and I'd never bothered to do that.
Yeah.
Turns out you had to opt out. Anyway, that's another story. But the point being is, for most of Alia's breastfeeding, I wasn't in Parliament, so I had a lot more flexibility than I otherwise would have, and that meant that the fact that I couldn't pump didn't end up being a problem.
Yeah.
And by the time I got back in the job, she was off the boob. So I only had a brief time where I was feeding her in Parliament, and most people were pretty good about it. And like, everyone loves babies. So there was a lot of joy and delight that comes from having a baby in the Senate chamber, which is really nice, because sometimes those places can be so toxic and nasty and aggressive. Yeah. I certainly, for me, having a baby around, I think really changed the mood.
You're like, I'm bringing up the vibe by bringing this baby in.
That's right. That's right. I'm helping improve all of your moods. You should be grateful. So mostly there was support in doing that, but then there was the odd person, and same as you, it was mostly men that, well, I think a few of them thought I was trying to attention seek. I'm like, have you ever had a baby? I'm sorry, but they are in charge of everything. I'm at the whim of her when she wants food. Would you rather have a screaming child in the chamber, or would you rather I feed her, give her what she needs, and ensure Absolutely. That she will be a happy child? So, that was really the only pushback that I got, was the odd dude misinterpreting the fact that babies need to eat when they're hungry. Sort of felt that, you know, this was, in the main, it was really well received, and I've had a lot of lovely feedback from women since then over the years that it was a moment that they felt really encouraged by, and I feel so grateful for that, because it's, you know, when it's you and you're doing it, you don't really, you just get on with your job. But when you get that lovely feedback from others that it was a moment of significance, then it really gives you that wonderful warm feeling.
You mentioned, obviously, the odd dude who didn't understand that you need to feed a baby when they're hungry, and that's obviously the best way to keep them happy and not crying. For those who were critical, why do you think they needed to send hate? And when I say those that were critical, you screenshot some of the comments and things that were coming to you. Why do you think those people thought to send those messages to you?
Well, look, sexism is still real, isn't it? And there's still some men out there that can't handle the fact that women are in Parliament now and can also have babies. So, I mean, I'm sort of incredulous that anyone would take the time to troll someone for feeding their child and for doing it in their workplace. Given that I was so lucky to have the ability to do it in my workplace, as we talked about earlier, not everyone has a workplace that's as permissive in that regard, and we can get into the fact that it wasn't always that way, and we had to actually have the rules changed to allow kids into the chamber so that they could be breastfed or cared for. My colleague, Sarah Hanson-Young, another fabulous champion for women's rights, had tried to bring her little one into the chamber like 10 years earlier, and she'd been booted out. So we'd actually had to make some ground up in changing those rules to allow what they call strangers in the chamber, because these rules were written like 100 years ago by a bunch of white men around the table who clearly hadn't foreseen a time when women would not only have the vote but actually be making laws themselves and also having kids. So thankfully some of those rules have been modernised. But I think out there in the public there's still, you know, the occasional person who, for some reason or another, thinks that women either shouldn't be doing jobs like I do or shouldn't be breastfeeding in public. But it's very interesting, isn't it, because you look around at advertising and there's a real commodification of women's bodies. You know, women in bikinis are used to sell cars still or beer or whatever, and thankfully that's kind of becoming a bit old hat now and we're moving on from that. But there's still a sense that a woman's body is a commodity if it's in a sexualized sense. But then if you're using it for a biological function like breastfeeding, for some reason there's this stigma about it. It's like such a weird contrast that boobs are okay if they're trying to sell you a car, but boobs are not okay if they're doing what they're designed to do and feed a child. I can't quite rationalize public response to that.
This is absolutely true, because on my Instagram for the Boobing Podcast, every time I've gone to post something, I've thought, even though this is literally a video of breastfeeding, is this going to be taken down for whatever reason, or someone's going to report the photo that is promoting the podcast because it's of me breastfeeding my child? And then I've also posted, obviously, other closer up feeding videos. And I was seriously thinking, oh, I think they're going to block this content. Yeah. I'm not sure about posting it. But then you go for a quick scroll and you've got complete bikini models.
Boobs
and like
everywhere.
Yeah, string bikinis, and that's all fine, showing way more, yeah, I guess in a sexualized manner.
It just outrages me that Facebook takes it upon themselves to censor breastfeeding. And there's been this great movement of Free the Nipple that was really quite, you know, quite prominent a few years ago, and I think COVID's probably squashed everything like it has.
Yeah.
But there was a real move to allow women to be in charge of our bodies online, and I'm all for that. And I think it's ridiculous that Facebook censors breastfeeding pictures, but as you say, has such a double standard in the other sorts of portrayal of women's bodies. Like, we should be the ones that make that call, not Facebook.
I'm just impressed that you actually were able to use a cover when you were in Parliament, because there's no way in hell that my child would ever have gone for a cover. She would have just grabbed it and thrown it on the ground. So, like, for you to even, you know, you've thought about having a cover. I never even bothered with a cover. And I think because I had a lot of breastfeeding issues early on, and then I was like, I fought this battle battle enough to be able to basically whip my boob out wherever I want now, because I've gone through the turmoil of having a rough breastfeeding start. So then once it all clicked, I was like, right, I'm feeding this kid everywhere and anywhere that I need to and want to. And if anyone's got a problem with it, they're just going to have to suck it up.
Exactly.
And I think when I saw that you used a cover, in my head I just went, yeah, my kid would have had none of that, because she was, I'm out and we're breastfeeding and the boob needs to be out. I need to be able to look around and see and do whatever. So I think even attempting to have a cover, I was like, oh, good on you.
Well, I think maybe it's an age thing, because Alia was only I was 9 weeks. She was 9 weeks old when I went back to work. And it was until she was 5 months that I was still in the role. So I think probably she hadn't worked out that she had the ability to remove the cover at that point. And as I said, it was just one of those little flat nappies, those terry toweling squares that you get that, you know, are so useful because they mop up vomit. You can use them as a changing mat. They're sort of multi-use. And I ended up working out that it could kind of work, because I could cover up the top bit of my boob and feel a bit more okay about doing it wherever, particularly really in the Senate chamber. I don't think I bothered to cover up anywhere else. But it helped because I hadn't actually purchased any proper maternity clothes. This sounds a bit ridiculous, but I try not to buy stuff, and I reused everything I'd had with my first daughter, and I had a lot of friends give me things. But for sort of business attire, when you've got to, you know, wear proper clothes in the chamber, I hadn't really bothered to go and buy special clothing. So really it was the fact that I was going to have to get my whole boob out that I thought, oh, look, I should probably have the protection of this terry toweling thing, just to like make the extraction process not quite
easier,
so
smooth.
Public and potential for sharing a little bit more information than I care to share with those folks in the Senate chamber.
Well, I think the terry toweling square is like one of those ones that you steal from the hospital, so that then you don't have to like wash your own things.
I had so many of them, and I've re-gifted them, and I'm a big fan.
Apart from obviously your breastfeeding making history, tell me about the rest of your breastfeeding experience with your two kids, Alia and Lana. Mm-hmm.
Look, I was so lucky. With Lana, I got into the birth centre. I'm not sure what city you're dialing in from, but I'm in Meanjin or Brisbane, and we've got a birth centre at our public hospital, but it's extremely limited. So I was really lucky to get in when I was about 34 weeks with my first daughter. And so I had really great midwife support during the birth.
Yep.
And then once Lana had been born, you know, they do that wonderful bobbing thing on your tummy. Yeah. But I needed a bit of help with how to hold her properly as my first child. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm an only child, so I've had no siblings and I didn't have a clue, basically. So I was really grateful to have midwife help to show me how to hold her and how to make sure she was latching on properly. by the time I had my second daughter, it was 8 years down the track and I'd totally forgotten all of it. So again, I was blessed to get into the birth center probably because I'd had my first daughter there.
Yeah.
And again, the midwives on staff were just amazing. They just picked her up and plonked her right on in just the right spot. And I'm like, oh, that's right. This is how you do that. I remember now. And so I felt incredibly lucky that I didn't have too much trouble once I got that help with latching on and positioning. My flow was fine. I hadn't had any blocked ducts. Honestly, I had a blessed journey compared to some of the troubles that so many people can have with breastfeeding. And yeah, I put it down to the midwives at the start helping me and just a bit of a determination to do it. And yeah. I got so good that I've got a distinct memory of pushing a shopping trolley around in Toowong shops, getting the groceries whilst breastfeeding Alia on my left side and pushing the trolley with the right. And people were just like raising their eyebrows at me thinking, what is this crazy woman doing? Multitasking in the extreme. But yeah, I was able to be mobile and breastfeed. And I feel so lucky for that. Because I know it can be quite difficult for others. And I've had friends that thought, oh no, I don't feel comfortable walking around. I want to be seated. I want to have a special pillow. Whatever works, you know, there's no rules. You just do your best. And if you're lucky that your boobs are working well and you've had support, then go for it for as long as you can.
I was definitely more in the had to sit on a chair, have the special pillow. Well, that was when she was actually feeding well. So by the time she was feeding well, she was definitely too heavy to carry around a supermarket.
Yeah.
But if that was me trying to feed in Parliament, she would have just got distracted, flung herself, like whipped herself off the boob. I would have been the one with the boob hanging out just because she would have gone, oh, what's that?
And look at all of this. Yeah. What's happening over here? Oh,
everyone's looking at me. Absolutely. She would have been far too distracted to be a good girl and stayed on the boob and kept it nice and tight. She was definitely...
That would have been quite comedic. I think I would have liked to have seen that actually. That certainly would have made headlines.
I probably just would have just pressed on with the boob out. Like I've been known before just to be having a full-on conversation with a girlfriend. Meanwhile, the child has finished their feed and crawled off.
Long gone.
And I'm still there just having a full-on conversation with my whole boob out and just not even realizing. I think had it been me in your shoes, I would have been, right, I'm going to get to my points. I'm going to get this out. I'm going to make sure I do that properly. The baby would have probably been the secondary thought.
I love it. Well, I think I was really just lucky that she was so little. She hadn't discovered any of those skills yet. She's now a massive troublemaker, but at the time she was very obliging and, you know, like that little slug where they don't really move much. They just want to eat and sleep and occasionally have a big cry.
I rewatched the video a few times yesterday and was still like, oh, I love it just as much as when I first watched it. So I just wanted...
Well, it's funny when I look back on it, Melissa, right, the thing I love the most is not just seeing her that age because you forget, you know, what they're like. They sort of are always the age they are and she's almost five now. So looking back on her as a baby is a lovely reminder. But I just love these massive smiles from my colleagues in the background gazing down on her. My dear friend Janet Rice, who's one of our senators for Victoria, she's got this beatific smile on her face.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just looking sort of faintly amused. So I think that's what I like most about that video is clearly the joy that others were getting in little one having a feed. She was pretty cute. She still is.
Yes. I loved the huge grins in the background really made it.
Yeah.
So, and it just kind of showed that everyone was in such support. They were also kind of like, look at this absolute badass doing this.
Well, I think every parent can relate to this when they're that young. Honestly, you're just so sleep deprived. You just get through the day and you kind of don't really have a conception of what it is that you're doing. You're just sort of doing what you can and trying to make everything work.
Yeah.
So, looking back, I think, wow, yeah, that was good on me. But at the time, you don't even give it a second thought. You're just like, yep, baby's hungry. Okay, got to get this done. Got to get that done. And, you're just sort of running on empty and trying to make everything work. I mean, I do not recommend going back to work when your baby is 9 weeks. If you've got the choice to take your full 12 months, then that would be my recommendation. Because, a nine-week-old does not let you sleep terribly much. And I was doing my best.
What would you say to women looking to get into Parliament? Because obviously it hasn't exactly been painted as the most female-friendly workplace and environment.
I would say do it, because we need to change the often toxic attitude and vibe of the place. And the only way we can change it is by having more women and more people of colour and more people from diverse backgrounds. Like, the only way to change the fact that it's an old white man's club is to put different people in there doing those jobs.
Yeah.
So it's not an amazing workplace. I can't say that I love the culture. I think the culture is really old fashioned and very damaging at times. So it's not always great, mm-hmm. but you've got to change that. We've got to make it safe for women, and we've got to make it work for people. It's got to actually have some lived experience in there that reflects the lives of the people that we're meant to represent. Otherwise, we'll continue to be out of touch. It'll continue to just deliver for the rich and big corporations, and we'll miss all this opportunity to have a democracy that's rich and responsive, like I think everyone deserves. So I would say you've got to do it, but make sure you've got networks of support, because this last year has been really rough, and the fact that people like Brittany Higgins can be raped in our workplace was massively confronting for so many. And, you know, there's not a woman I know that hasn't had some form of sexual assault at some point in their lives to some degree. Like, this is an issue that touches all of us.
Yeah.
So it was very confronting to have a year like that. But my admiration and just absolute fandom to people like Brittany and Grace Tame and all of the other strong young women who've been so brave and courageous and just said what they think and been totally unapologetic about it and have held power to account.
Yeah.
I'm so indebted to them, and I hope that that will make it a safer space in the long run. We've already seen some good improvements. There's already been a Sex Discrimination Commissioner report into Parliament. She's made some great recommendations. I'm hopeful that we'll see all of those recommendations acted on. We need safe workplaces everywhere. It's not just Parliament. Women are facing harassment in the workplace wherever they work. They're also facing violence in the home wherever they live. So we've got real issues.
Yeah.
And to your question of would I encourage women into Parliament, yes, I absolutely would, because that's the only way that we can change that workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage that in any workplace. You've got to go for it, because it might be hard, but you've got to make it safe for the next woman to come after you, or it'll never be accessible, and we'll never have a Parliament that's safe and making good decisions. And we've got to have that. So you suck it up and you get it done.
Absolutely.
Because it's got to be done.
Larissa Waters, thank you for joining the Boobing Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, and I wish you all the best with your little one. And to all of your listeners, keep on breastfeeding wherever you are, no matter where that is, no matter if you get a dirty look, because things are changing, and we're all part of making that change. We're all part of normalising breastfeeding.